So once again, good morning. So we're going to sort of reflect a little bit this morning, first off, in this message. We just came through Pentecost, through the spring holidays, but through Pentecost specifically. And at Pentecost, we heard some messages about first fruits. So what is a first fruit? This is something that was pointed out to us. A first fruit is the first ready. It's the first harvest that's ready. So, brethren, I have a question for you. Are we ready? What are we supposed to be ready for? So, in essence, we're all preparing. We're all trying to be ready. We're all trying to be those first fruits, the first ready, for the return of Jesus Christ. I mean, that's what we're looking forward to. That's what we're hoping to come. But we need to realize that the return of Christ will not be a time for us to lounge around and to eat figs and drink wine that's not what it's about. When Christ returns, we'll be serving all of mankind. We're going to be teaching, we're going to be teachers, we're going to be helpers, we're going to do whatever we're chosen to do at the return of Christ to help God and His Son fulfill their message. So we're training now, each and every day, to be a suitable servant for that time. So are we ready? Are we ready to serve? Are we ready to serve at the return of Jesus Christ? As I said, being ready for service is our goal as a first fruit. That's what we're trying to do. That's what we're trying to become. So is it our heart's desire to serve one another? Is it our heart's desire to serve those around us in this room, those in God's church, and the world as a whole? You know, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 5 states, "For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake." So there's more to being a servant for Jesus' sake than being here, than showing up for services, for abstaining from unclean meats, more than tithing, more than fasting, more than giving offerings. There's more to it than that. Brethren, as we prepare for our position as first fruits, how are we doing? How are we doing at displaying a servant's heart? If you like a title for this message, it would be A Servant's Heart. So this morning we're going to focus on three questions pertaining to service. One, why should we serve? Two, when should we serve? And three, how should we serve? Why should we serve? When should we serve? And how should we serve? So we'll go ahead and just jump right into that. So the first one, why should we serve? Well, let's all take a moment and look around the room. So look at the person beside you. Look at the person behind you. Look at the person in front of you. If you're in the front row, I guess you have to look at me. So I'm sorry about that. So what do you see? When you look around this room, what do you see? Well, what we should see, or what we should have seen, is the body of Christ. The body of Christ. Of which, of course, we're members. Romans 12, verse 5 states, "So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another." So if we're the body of Christ, which Scripture tells us we are, and as Christ stated in Matthew 10, verse 25, that He came not to be served, but to serve, then it's safe to say that, obviously, we should do the same. We should serve. We should be servants. Turn with me, if you'd like to Matthew 25. Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. We'll begin in verse 31. Matthew 25, beginning in verse 31. I'll be reading from the ESV here. Matthew 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne. Before Him will be gathered all the nations, and He will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will place the sheep on His right, but the goats on His left. Then the King will say to those on His right, Come, you who are blessed by My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave Me food. I was thirsty, and you gave Me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed Me. I was naked, and you clothed Me. I was sick, and you visited Me. I was in prison, and you came to Me. Then the righteous will answer Him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the King will answer them, Truly, I say to you, as you did to one of the least of these, My brothers, you did it to Me. Brethren, if we serve one another, if we serve our congregation, if we serve the church as a body, then we're serving our very own Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So what more reason do we need then to be willing? To be willing to serve, to be willing to serve one another. So to ask the question again, why should we serve? We should serve because Christ Himself came to serve. And serving one another, serving each other, is serving Him. It's serving our Lord. So there's no better reason, really, to serve. So then we'll move on to the second question. When should we serve? Well, we could ask this question in another way. When shouldn't we serve? You know, is there a time when we should stop serving one another? Is there a time, or do things ever get to a point where it's better for us to just not serve, when it's just not worth the hassle, it's not worth, you know, the frustration or whatever it may be? You know, is there ever a time when we shouldn't serve? Let's look at Acts chapter 21. Acts chapter 21. In this passage, we'll recall events pertaining to the Apostle Paul that took place in Caesarea. Acts chapter 21, and we'll begin reading in verse 10, verses 10 through 14. While we were staying for many days, a prophet named Agabus came down from Judea, and coming to us, he took Paul's belt and bound his own feet and hands, and said, Thus says the Holy Spirit, This is how the Jews at Jerusalem will bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. When we heard this, we and the people there urged him not to go to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, What are you doing, weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be imprisoned, but even to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And since he would not be persuaded, we ceased and said, Let the will of the Lord be done. Such a short and profound statement. Let the will of the Lord be done. The Apostle Paul was serving the church. We all know this from Scripture. But keep in mind, at this point, Paul had already been imprisoned. And even before that, Paul had been stoned, had been physically stoned and left for dead. He had already suffered. He had already suffered for the church. He had already suffered in his service. So now this prophet comes and he's telling him that if he goes to Jerusalem, he's going to be bound again and he's going to be delivered to those who will most likely kill him, those who will want him dead. Now, Paul knows that going to Jerusalem is most likely a death sentence. And there's no doubt that at this point, Paul would have remembered his imprisonment. He would have remembered being stoned. Nevertheless, despite the physical risk, Paul understood that serving the church, serving his Lord Jesus Christ, took precedence over his physical comfort and his safety. He knew that his service was more important than himself. Paul had the heart of a true servant. Now, another short example of devout service and even a greater sacrifice than Paul at this time can be found in Philippians chapter 2. So we'll look there real quick, just a short passage. And actually, I'll just go ahead and read it. Philippians 2, verses 7 and 8 states, Christ emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. So Jesus Christ had come to earth. He had given up his majesty as a God being at that time, took on physical form to serve man. This service would and did require his physical death. And he knew this. He knew going into this service of us, of mankind, that he would suffer a physical agonizing death. Now Christ, although he didn't desire the physical pain, which we know by his prayers in the garden, he didn't desire the physical pain and the suffering of his imminent death. He accepted his fate. He accepted the fate that him and his Father established. And he suffered that death. He suffered that death because of it. Christ had a perfect servant's heart, without question. There was no fault in it. So if Christ and his apostles could continue to serve, knowing that death was the outcome, that physical death was the outcome, then we, as the body of Christ, sitting here today, should find it somewhat difficult to come up with a reason, why we shouldn't serve. So when should we serve? Just like the apostles and Christ, always, absolutely always, regardless of the outcome. They serve to their death. So that brings us to our third and last point, then. How should we serve? Well, the short answer to that question is in any way possible, any way absolutely possible. The scriptural basis for that answer can be found in Romans chapter 12. Now, we alluded to this a little bit earlier, so we'll go ahead and read those passages. Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 5. I know Romans is in here because I was just there. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verses 5 through 13. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in preparation of our faith, and service, in our serving. The one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness, let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal, be fervent in spirit, serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer, contribute to the needs of the saints, and seek to show hospitality. That's a fine list of service. I mean, that pretty much covers it all. But I'd like to focus in on one section of it. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. Now, no, this doesn't say some have gifts to use and others don't. This also doesn't say use your gifts if you want to, but if you don't really feel like it or if it's too difficult, you don't really have to do it. It doesn't say that. We all, every one of us, have gifts given to us by the grace of our Father to use in service of one another and the use and service of our Lord. We should find great joy in that. We should find great joy in the fact that our Father in heaven has given us these special gifts that we can use as a blessing for everyone else. Our gifts are not necessarily a blessing for us. Our gifts are a blessing for everyone around us. You know, brethren, it takes prayer. It takes prayer and a close relationship with our Father to reveal those gifts, to realize the gifts that He has given us. You know, speaking for myself, you know, it's only, absolutely only through prayer and only through God's help that I can stand up here before you, stand up here in front of you and speak to you, or stand up here and lead songs. It takes God's inspiration to do these things, and there's no way, knowing myself, and Ginger could probably back this up, that I could do this on my own. It's absolutely impossible. And I'm sure anyone that speaks or anyone that serves in any manner feels the same way. Yeah, only through God's inspiration can we do these things. You know, it takes prayer, it takes fervent prayer to serve in a manner that is ordinarily outside of our comfort zone. You know, only with God's inspiration and strength, as well as that heart, as well as that servant's heart, can we serve to our potential, to the potential that God sees in us. Not the potential we see in ourselves, the potential that God sees in us. You know, God gives us that ability, He gives us that strength, He gives us that courage to serve one another, and He expects us, as we just read in Scripture, He expects us to use those gifts. So then, to answer the question, how do we serve? In any way that we possibly can. Even if it puts us outside of that comfort zone, even if it's something that we don't feel like we ourselves could physically do on our own, because we couldn't, that's how we serve. That's when we serve. So brethren, when we serve one another, whether it's through the time that we spend together, whether it's through coming to church services and setting up the equipment, leading songs, speaking, setting up the potluck, even your tithes and your offerings and your hospitality and your fellowship to one another, those are service. All of that is service. And every time we do that, we're not only helping ourselves, but we're teaching one another. We're teaching one another to have that servant's heart. We're teaching one another how to serve, how to prepare for what God is going to use us for in the future. So as I said, we should find strength and joy in the fact that no matter what happens around us in our lives, no matter what's going on, that God has given us one another. God has given us one another to feed off of and to serve and to learn how to serve from. You know, Christ has taught us to do these things because it's the right thing to do. We also need to remember that service is never, ever about ourselves. But service is always about those sitting beside you, and those sitting behind you, and those sitting in front of you. So, brethren, as we move forward as first fruits, let's make sure we're becoming the first ready. The first ready for what? The first ready to serve. So let's ensure that we're following the example of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and living our lives with a servant's heart.